Mr. Football, Andy Harper. Australia, the Socceroos qualify for their fifth consecutive World Cup. He must be doing cartwheels. Good afternoon, Andy. Thanks for your time.
Oh, mate, it's my pleasure. What great terms on which to talk with you. Fantastic.
Mate, can you believe what's happened? A bloody penalty shootout, and Graham Arnold took his plums out and gone with the penalty shootout goalkeeper, backed it in, and now we're off to the bloody Qatar.
I've heard it described a few ways, but never in quite those. That he's taken his plums out. The only thing is not that if you put them on the block.
But it was a
brilliant.
It's a genius move.
Genius,
is this something that happens regularly, or is this something
Look, it's not unheard of to have specialty goalkeepers. In fact, in the 2014 World Cup, Holland did it with a guy called Tim Krul, who was the goalkeeper at Newcastle United in the English Premier League at the time. So it does happen from time to time. Of course, you know, in holding a substitute until the penalties by a goal to keep the goalkeeper free means that, you know, you might not have pulled a rein during the game. So Graham Arnold has been criticised a lot over the course of the campaign. And fair enough, too. The campaign was in tatters for a while there. It was in tatters, and no one could see their way through. Somehow he's pulled it together. He deserves enormous credit for being able to pull it back together again. And then outplaying a more fancied opponent in Peru today. And part of the criticism, there's been a lot of it across the breadth of issues, but one of them was team selections. And when Andrew Redmayne got picked in this squad for these knockout qualifiers, people were saying, what the hell? This bloke must be smoking something.
Yeah.
because you know, Redmayne is far from the top three goalkeepers on form eligible to be picked at the moment. He's a great goalkeeper. He's had a great career. But last season's form with Sydney FC wasn't stellar. And so one wondered what the hell was going on here. 118 minutes into this qualifier against Peru, when he stands up in the substitute section, it all became real. We understood exactly then why Graham Arnold picked him, purely and solely to come on in the penalty shootout. That was a massive call to take off your skipper and the otherwise outstanding Matt Ryan. And in defence of Matt Ryan, there's nothing to say he wouldn't have provided the necessary heroics either. But the fact is, Arnold put his plums on the block, as you said. the queue of people waiting to decapitate him if this didn't work and if they failed. And it's a fine line. But now that he's pulled it off, massive kudos to him. It's a crowning glory as a coach. And it's five straight World Cup finals. It's quite unbelievable, really. It's so exciting.
And understandably, like, wild scenes after that last one was saved. What about the build-up, Andy? Four of the 20 qualifying games were out of Australia. Yeah. They couldn't have done it any tougher.
Really unusual, totally unusual circumstances. Graham Arnold's beaten that drum a lot. And he's totally entitled to do that now. Look, it wasn't totally unique. There was a lot of teams, particularly through Asia, that had to play behind closed doors or away from home. China, for example, was similar. There wouldn't be many, however, in world football that have had to do it as tough as the Socceroos. It's a long road to start with. Our qualifying route, when it goes to these extra sudden-death qualifiers, is longer than most. And then not having to play at home, which is a massive advantage to every national football team, but particularly Australia. You've got a very proud home record in World Cup qualifiers, and we were denied that advantage, and the fans were denied that access. And more importantly, I think, the players were denied access to their own fans. And off the field, this has been an issue because, you know, people have lost track of the Socceroos because they haven't been playing at home. Mm. People haven't connected with the team. Like, you know, they don't know about Aidan Rustich. These qualifiers were played in the middle of the night, early hours of the morning in Doha with no fans watching. And all people were doing is absorbing results as they're coming through. Mm. And it's hurt the game. It was unavoidable, but it's hurt the game. It really was an impediment for the players. And we all lost the world. No, I'm paid to. I'm interested and I'm part of the attachment. But the general sports fan had lost connection with this team through no fault of anyone. But it's back, baby. That was enormous.
It's back, baby.
That was just enormous.
We love that. Now, what next for the Socceroos? Do they go to a training camp? When does the actual World Cup start?
World Cup's in November. Actually, this is the bizarro world we live in. The World Cup in any normal cycle would be on now, right now. We'd be in day two of the World Cup finals. June, July is when it's normally played. Yep. But, of course, the controversy around Qatar being granted the rights in 2010 meant that it was an inevitability that they would take the World Cup out of the Northern Hemisphere summer. You know, it's been 48 degrees there during the day.
48.
So they've moved it to November, December. So the World Cup kicked off in November. December 18 is the final. The Socceroos, I'm not expecting to have many opportunities to get back together. There'll be a 2.5-3 week camp probably before the World Cup. Depending on the scheduling, there'll be a couple of warm-up games. Players will be pretty much, because of the changing of the schedule, players will be pretty much back on duty very soon for their European club duty, because that's going to have to all work around the World Cup window. It's a very interrupted season compared to what we're used to. And, of course, our local A-Leagues are going to have to cope with it as well. It's a great problem to have. You'd much rather have to worry about the scheduling around the Socceroos and them not being there. But that's going to be an issue for us as well. But you know, they're all details. It's just such a great story. And it's redemptive in a lot of ways, particularly for Coach Graham Arnold. I'm exceedingly happy for him.
Brilliant.
Well, we're there and Italy aren't, which is another amazing story.
Yeah. Back to back, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And off the top of your head, Andy, what group are we in?
This is talk about bizarro world. So, I don't know, maybe 210, 215 countries start the World Cup qualifying process. More countries than are members of the UN start the whole process trying to get into the World Cup. There's only 31 spaces, plus the host nation makes it 32. Now, what are the odds of being in the same group twice? That's what Australia faces. Last time in Russia, they had France, Denmark and Peru.
Yep.
Having just knocked out Peru. I go to Russia now and they're in the group with France, Denmark, and the only difference is Tunisia. It's totally bizarre. I think it's manageable. I really believe, given what they've achieved now, depending on what happens with players over the next couple of months, the round of 16 should come into very sharp focus. You know, I think they're capable of doing it. It's going to be an exciting ride from here.
Just before we let you go, Andy Harper, been fantastic. Financially, what does that mean for Australian football?
Oh, a few mil in the kit. But, you know, there's a lot of hungry mouths in Australian football.
Yeah, true.
Coaching systems, you know, development systems, that'll all need to get apportioned properly. But, it's a good problem to have. Look, it's not going to solve the financial issues in the game, but it's certainly not going to hurt. And, you know, we're seeing the fruit coming through. This is a topic for another day, but tomorrow night at 11 p.m, our under-23s playing the semi-final of the Asian Cup for under-23s against Saudi Arabia. All this doom and gloom talk, which is never far away from the football in Australia, about no players coming through. Well, the under-23s are in the semi-final, 90 minutes away from an under-23s Asian Cup final. Now, that points to some good future. Yep. That's on Paramount Plus tomorrow night for anyone who's interested. Yep, 11 p.m, nice. They can watch the next generation Ollie Roos coming through. Plenty on, mate. And it's great to be talking about it. You know, the Socceroos nailed it this morning. They really did. They deserved that win. This was no lucky penalty shootout win. They deserved it probably in normal time. They had to put us all through the hellfire that is a penalty shootout, but they came out smelling roses and with their plums intact.
That's it, Andy. Mate, thanks for sharing that with us, and we'll speak again. And we're very proud of the Socceroos, and, here we come, World Cup.
Good on you. Thanks for having us.
Andy Harper there.